You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You should not trust the media. You shouldn't. Your instincts are dead on if you don't. They're not honest brokers. The media gets paid to get eyeballs, right? To get you viewing them. And the way you do that is to stoke outrage. And so that's why whenever you turn off the television from cable news, you feel pissed off. You may not even know they're doing it to you, but that's what they're doing to you. It's one of the reasons I wound up leaving. It was just like, what kind of a life is this where all you do is make people upset? And you intentionally choose stories that aggravate and upset people.
The words of Megyn Kelly, former Fox News anchor, and then, of course, later with NBC, and now on her own, out of the media stream entirely when it comes to mainstream media. And her words echo true. And we're going to get into great detail of her interview coming up over the next 2 hours. This is November 19, 2020. And as we listen to what Megyn Kelly warned you, do not trust the media. I think many of you have already accepted that. And yet you're still trying to find, well, where do I go? Where can I get best information, unfiltered information? Some talk radio will give you factual information, perhaps with a personal view included. That's the way I would describe this program. I give you facts, and yes, I also add my opinion, but I also tell you where the sources are so you can check it out and verify. See, I think that's critical. We are at a point now where we just jump on the phone, pull up whatever is on Twitter or whatever news feed we have on our Facebook, and we buy that as the gospel. Don't do that. And I've even got my brother down in Texas, big Fox fan all these years, sending word to me last night, I am done with Fox News. He said, I might still watch Tucker and maybe Hannity, but I'm done with them because they have sold out. He sees them going the direction of the leftist media. As I pointed out some time ago, once the election was held and the day or so after, I said, talk radio, conservative talk radio is going to be needed more than ever. There are other streams available. You have Newsmax, OAN News. They're trying to make inroads to become staples for your news source, but that'll be up to you to decide. But you need to make a decision because some of the ones out there right now, they're playing you, and yet Don Lemon is preaching to you that if you have any questions about this election, I mean any questions, you're a sucker. You're a sucker. He says, I don't want to talk down to you, but he does, and they always have. He suddenly wants to act like I won't talk down to you. They have made a habit of talking down to you through the last 4 years, and now they want to back off. Let's all be nice and friendly. But if you still believe this election might be rigged, you're a sucker. I'm going to be joined later by Willis Crumholz. He's a contributor for The Federalist. Wrote an extensive article that if Americans can no longer trust our elections, what happens next? He'll be joining us over the next 2 hours as well. And President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, today aggressively making the case that the legal challenge of the 2020 election results are valid. He said, I'm describing massive fraud that existed. And he says, I got a lot of information we'll release as we move forward with the legal cases. We do know this. One Michigan Republican canvassing member said that she got a call from President Trump after she was threatened because she would not certify the election results in Wayne County. She said the president was checking to make sure I was safe after hearing threats that had occurred. She was one of two Republican members of that four-member Wayne County canvassing board who initially refused to certify the votes. Then they changed their mind. But they did so under duress and threats, and now they want to change it back. They want to say those votes should not be certified. And where do we stand on coronavirus? There's one report saying that hospitals are going to collapse in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And Joe Biden is saying you need to wear a mask until the inauguration day. Wear it at least till inauguration day. And then things will be all better, I guess, huh? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're going to see hospitals collapsing in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And this is what we've got to do to address that. And just remember one thing. For the next 3 weeks, the cases are already in the pipeline. The people who are infected this morning will be the cases of next week in the hospital a few days after that, and will be in the intensive care rooms and dying after that. So even if we did everything we could right now, we would still not turn this thing around for literally 3 to 4 more weeks.
Hospitals collapsing in the next 2 to 3 weeks due to spikes in coronavirus cases across the country, according to the voice you just heard, Dr. Michael Osterholm, a member of Biden's coronavirus task force. That's his prediction. And saying we're just not doing enough as we should right now, and it's going to lead to folks who are in the pipeline now that are already sick, and in 3 to 4 weeks, we'll see them rush into the hospital and hospitals will collapse. How many times can you cry wolf before the people just simply say, yeah, I'm done with it. I'll take my chances. I'm tired of it. And that works to a disadvantage to health. It does. I'll be the first to admit that. And, of course, the left wants you to believe that Trump has never done anything to help save any lives, and all the 250,000 deaths are on his doorstep. And that when Trump says, well, you don't need to wear a mask all the time. I'm around people that I know it's okay, and then maybe I will, maybe I won't. And, of course, then he gets it, and they suddenly say, see, see? Well, I'm not going to deny a mask might help, but there are other reports, science reports, that say they don't really do that much good. Even the CDC had conceded that at one point before they suddenly backed up. because they want folks to use the mask. And it's probably a good idea in certain conditions. But again, this is getting totally out of control, and it becomes a matter of control. I'd mentioned to you the other day that the Keystone State, Pennsylvania, tightening the mask requirements that in your home, you must wear a mask. In your home. Now, they're now trying to re-clarify that, say, well, if there you have people in your home that are no members of their household, then they should be wearing masks, and you should wear a mask. So if your brother comes over to visit, he doesn't live with you, everybody has to put on a mask. And Dr. Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania's transgender health secretary, and I'm not throwing that out as a label to criticize her, that's what she wants to be described as, Pennsylvania's transgender health secretary, said the virus is going to continue to spread unless we start using masks even in your home. Dr. Fauci. The mainstream media will rely on him when they think he's saying something they like, and if he says anything against Trump, they definitely like it. Anytime he sides with Trump, he's suddenly persona non grata. But Fauci now being quoted as saying that predicting the coming months will be brutal. December, January, early Feb are going to be extremely, I should say, would be terribly painful months. And that Fauci does not seem to have much faith Americans are going to change their behavior in the next few months. He said, I don't think they are. Well, most everyone I know is using a mask from time to time, but not on a continuous basis. They're in their car driving somewhere, they're not wearing a mask. If they're out walking in a park, they're not wearing a mask. And yet, you've got governors across the states suddenly lining up to add more and more restrictions, especially ahead of Thanksgiving. The CDC, by the way, just issued a remark about Thanksgiving, specifically Thanksgiving travel. It already had some recommendations for Thanksgiving on its website, but didn't really deal with the actual travel. Now they're strongly recommending against any, and in fact, all travel for Thanksgiving. The CDC is saying, basically, an increased chance of your loved ones being sick or hospitalized or dying if you travel. Well, I've got a ticket booked to go down and see my brother and his family in Texas. I'm going to travel by air. Now, would I do it if I really believed it's going to be that dangerous? No, I wouldn't. Do I want to worry about going in and infecting his family if I thought I was going to do that? Would I do it? No, I wouldn't. They just want a general blanket over everyone to basically hold you down. We've already seen additional restrictions put in place by Kentucky, Minnesota, Kansas. And again, in some of those cases, they're dealing specifically with family Thanksgiving traditions. The Minnesota governor said, you should not celebrate Thanksgiving together. Don't have any friends or family come to your home. He said to invite a friend or over or brother-in-law to watch the Vikings play the Bears, one of the riskiest things we can do right now. And these Minnesota restrictions are putting more bans on social gatherings, even more restricted than rules existing now in Oregon and Michigan. And bars and restaurants and other businesses are just dying. And the people that try to rely upon the money they make by either owning and operating that business or those who work for it are suffering. And some obviously believe that once Joe Biden is president, things will change. Do you know how many times we've seen things have to be retracted because they are wrong? For once, let's deal with what happened yesterday. Governor Cuomo was being questioned by reporters about New York City schools are going to be shut down. Is that right? He said, no, they're not going to be shut down. Where did you get your information? They said, well, we're hearing they might be shut down. He said, no. By state order, New York City schools, like all schools in the state, will be open. Less than an hour or two later, the New York mayor, Bill de Blasio, ordered all schools, public school system, the largest in the nation, 1 million children, shut down, closed up. One New York City assemblyman is absolutely incensed. He said, the party of science has suddenly decided not to follow the science. The harm this is doing to children is going to be irreparable. He said it's a complete policy reversal. It seems we can have mask mandates for every purpose under the sun, except now schools and education for children who need it is deemed non-essential. And then against this backdrop, let me point out to you what the New York Times did. They published an op-ed. An op-ed which basically was a stunning admission that Trump's strong stance to keep schools open during the coronavirus pandemic was a good idea. Times opinion columnist Nicholas Kristof wrote a piece titled, When Trump Was Right and Many Democrats Were Wrong. And he pointed out Trump has been demanding for months schools reopen. And on that, he seems to have been largely right. Schools, especially elementary schools, do not appear to have major source of coronavirus transmissions. And remote learning is proving to be a catastrophe for many low-income families. And yet America is shutting schools, New York City announcing it was closing schools in the largest school district. Even as in New York, they are allowing businesses like restaurants and bars to operate, at least at a restricted level. And the opinion editor wrote, this debate over keeping schools open was politicized after Trump blustered in July about schools needing to stay open while trying to protect normalcy. And, of course, Democrats just automatically line up on the other side. Whatever he says, I'm again. And you remember how long it took CNN to finally take Andrew Cuomo to task for his order in March to force patients into nursing homes? If a nursing home patient got sick, they were to stay there. If they went to the hospital, hospitals to send them back. And we're still waiting for official numbers of how many died during that time. It's estimated 12, 15, 20,000. We don't know. We don't know because he's been holding the numbers back. And it took forever for CNN, since they're such good buddies with their anchor Chris Cuomo being the brother of the governor, and they're all leftists and they enjoy going to parties together, probably even now, despite restrictions. But they did not call him out until October. October, they finally said, we need to talk about this. I'm talking about going to parties under the current restrictions. I told you yesterday about California Governor Newsom attending a fancy dinner party. The San Francisco Chronicle actually reported that last Friday, Newsom attended a birthday celebration for political advisors and a dozen attendees at an upscale restaurant in Napa Valley, the French Laundry. I've been there. Very nice. Very upscale. And they're still open in California. And the governor went and they were shown all sitting around inside without any mask. Well, when finally it hit this fan, because I guess the governor thought, hey, I'm the governor of California. Nobody's going to make a big deal out of this. Well, they did. And, oh, by the way, it wasn't just the governor. This is a group of leading California Medical Association officials who also showed up for the lobbyist party. Well, Newsom has since apologized and said, yeah, I should walk the walk or what I preach is what I should do. Something words to that effect. I did a bad thing. Don't use me as an example. And every time the left does something like that, they just want to say, well, that's just an outlier. That was one event. I believe that you should wear the mask and should not attend these parties. And in California, they're telling them the same thing. Do not have people to your home for Thanksgiving. I mentioned in the opening monologue, I want to repeat it for you again. Joe Biden is now urging Americans to take precautions such as wearing a mask. He said, if you wear it at least until Inauguration Day 2021, we will save at least 100,000 lives. He believes that between now and Inauguration Day 2021, 100,000 lives will be snuffed out. And if we approach anywhere near that number, right now we're at 260,000 across the nation. He's saying another 100,000. You know they're going to blame it on those who don't believe in masks or saying, the restrictions are too tough, and I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to do what I want. I'm tired of being kept under this attitude of control. And you get Hollywood leftists stepping out, like left-wing actress Rosanna Arquette. She's blaming Trump of using coronavirus, quote, as a weapon of mass destruction. And she said, I wear a mask because I care about people, even those I disagree with politically. But Trump is a mass murderer. He's basically responsible for using COVID as a weapon of mass destruction. You have to make a decision for you and your family. And nothing I say or anyone says should directly sway you until you put it against what you believe or what you think. And I have some very good friends. They have just basically are still locked down. They just don't want to go out, don't want to be around. Well, that's their choice. I have others say, let's go out and do things, until then they shut down some of the bars or restaurants. All right, we'll go to another county if it's shut down in one particular county, and they are. Have some caution, but don't live in constant fear and panic, which is what the left continues to promote. And then, of course, when it comes to if you don't believe the election, then there's something wrong with you. Congressman Adam Schiff, coming up.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Is the sitting president of the United States trying to overturn the legitimate results of this election?
I think without a question, that's exactly what he's trying to do. I mean, he's failing, but nonetheless, it's staggering that a sitting president of the United States would try to overturn the results of a perfectly fair and well-executed election. Remarkably well-executed election during a pandemic. It's just extraordinary, and it's so damaging. He's going to fail, but in the process, he's dragging down our democracy.
So says the House Intel Committee Chairman, Adam Schiff, Democrat of California, in response to a loaded softball question from Wolf Blitzer, CNN, NNN. And I'm going to spend more time on this in the next hour. But again, as the legal challenges are being heard and moving forward, they still want to put out the story, and for you to you buy it, they expect you will buy it. It's all over. It's done. It's official. Biden is president. It is not done. It is not official. Am I saying it will not happen as they predict? Oh, no, I'm not. Am I saying there are a lot of questions yet to be resolved about our election this last time around? Yes. And here you have Schiff. Again, I always hate even associating him with the word intel, but he's a chair of the intelligence community, a chair, I should say, committee. And he says this was a perfectly fair, well-executed election, just extraordinary. And he's doing nothing but dragging down democracy. As if the last 4 years, the mainstream media and the leftists have not done the same thing in trying to drag down our democracy, going with a false narrative, story, allegations, fiction involving Trump and so-called Russian collusion and all the money spent and everything else. They came out and said, nope, nothing here. Or that then they rushed into, what can we impeach him on? Quid pro quo. This use that. And that went nowhere. Who was trying to drag down democracy? Who was constantly fighting and showing the rest of the world how we do things? And now they want to claim the high moral ground that we are in the right and you're in the wrong. You don't have rights to claim that ground. You haven't been on high moral ground for a long time, and you're not approaching it now. So don't stand up there and wave the flag and say, we are for the democracy of our nation and the others aren't. When members inside your own party don't even think that flag represents this country anymore and it should be abolished. Do not try to tell me how things should be run. And simply the fact that the challenges continue. And today Rudy Giuliani came out and said, we've got a lot more challenges we're looking at. We've got more whistleblowers. They're all under oath. He said, we're going to be looking at them, dealing with it. He said, and just because we've been contesting now 2 weeks, they want to say it's over. He said, it's not over. You get your day in court, you get to find out. And I told you the other day, it is critical that we get some hearings on these and get to the bottom of it. Otherwise, it's like that bad call on the football field. Everybody sees it's a bad call. The ref made the bad call. The video replay shows it's a bad call, and yet it stands on the field until the following week or two when the commissioner says, oh, yeah, that's a bad call. Too bad. Now we live with it. Now we live with it. Coming up, my next guest, what if Americans can no longer trust our elections? Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest is a contributor to the Federalist, and I've tried to book him for the last couple of days. Finally, got it together for today. I'm glad to welcome aboard Willis Crumholz. Welcome, Willis. Glad to have you.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I was interested extremely in the title of your column. It's an extensive column in the Federalist. If Americans can no longer trust our elections, we're in big trouble. Give me a thumbnail sketch of what kind of big trouble to start with.
Yeah, just noticing that among a lot of conservatives I know, they're very upset and worried, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Biden possibly winning. This is nothing like people not being happy with Obama winning back in 2008 or 2012. There's a lot of people that see evidence of voter fraud out there, and we can get into whether it's enough evidence to prove that Trump really won the election, but there is evidence of voter fraud, and then you have the media completely pushing it aside and saying it doesn't even exist and already declaring Biden the president-elect, and people are worried about the future of the country. I think if people really thought Trump lost, they'd be okay with that. But there's a lot of people, including myself, to be honest, who are worried about the future, because if we do this mail-in balloting thing again, if you have four cities in the country with corrupt election practices, change potentially the outcome of a presidential election, you know, that takes us down a really bad a really bad path. And so the article goes through. Go ahead,
Rick. I was going to say, and as you point out in your article, that's going to be crossing the Rubicon. And for folks who aren't sure of that meaning, crossing the Rubicon, that refers to when Julius Caesar crossed the Rubicon River, and then that led to the Roman Civil War, later Caesar becoming a dictator. But mainly it means taking a specific course of action from which there's no turning back. So if this was our norm, if this was our norm, that we're going to have all this irregularity and questions and we're not going to investigate it, we're going to shove it aside, sweep it under the rug, if that's going to be the norm going forward, you're right. We are headed for disaster when it comes to democracy.
Yeah, that's correct. And so in the article, I go through some of the evidence that's been put forward. There's certain things that have been put forward that there's fact checkers in the mainstream media that they've actually, you know, come up with some sort of a response to it. Sometimes I think it's been a good one. Other times I don't think it's been a good one. And I just encourage people to look up the article on the Federalist. They go through all the specific points of evidence, but there's other things that stand out, just even things like the turnout statistics out of cities like Detroit and Milwaukee. They just don't add up, and it doesn't prove that Donald Trump really should have won the election, but it definitely deserves to be looked into more. And one of the most troubling things, real quick, Larry, is that just as Rudy Giuliani outlined in the press conference that he just gave, which I caught only part of, there's 670,000 mail-in ballots in Pennsylvania that there's no way to even know whether they were fraudulent or not, because the envelopes that say who the voter is and say when the vote was cast and everything else, those were thrown out. And so, you know, that's really troubling, some of the stuff that's been done. And I'll let go ahead, Larry.
Well, and within that, I mean, it also gets back to that. Everything was clicking along, the numbers were coming in, everything moving forward, and then suddenly all across the nation, some of these states, at 4 a.m., suddenly quit counting, and additional votes and ballots were dumped in, and then the count resumed, and the numbers reversed, 180 degrees. Now, whether or not that's fraud or whatever it is, it just involves ask the question, get a solid answer.
True. So two things based on that, Larry. The first thing is that we have to get rid of mail-in balloting. Democrats pushed in courts all year. The lawyer behind it was actually the lawyer tied to the Fusion GPS, Trump-Russia dossier.
You're right.
I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's a Perkins QE lawyer,
right.
And so they had a concerted effort to get mail-in balloting. And the biggest problem with mail-in balloting is there's just less checks and balances on it. And no, mail-in balloting is not the same as absentee balloting. And one of the big differences is an absentee ballot has to arrive at a certain time. And according to most state law, it has to arrive before the in-person polls close on election day. So if you look at a state like Florida on election night, they knew exactly by the evening how many votes were going to come in. There was no finding thousands of more votes in Florida. You just couldn't do that under Florida's system. They knew ahead of time how many votes were going to be in, and that cuts down on the ability for mass fraud to occur, significantly cuts it down. So we have to get rid of mail-in balloting. This thing where ballots can come in days after the election gives an incentive to bad actors to say, look, we're down a couple hundred thousand votes, so let's go make it up. The second point is, back to what happened on election night, that's something the corporate media has said is like, oh, the conservatives are claiming that they stopped counting votes and then started counting votes, and that's not true, blah, blah, blah. Well, point taken, what actually happened, they were counting, but they stopped reporting votes overnight, which is really odd. And then kind of there's some maybe explanation for stopping for a while, but the fact that they all stopped and started at 4 a.m. is an oddity. And the other thing is that everybody knew that these mail-in ballots would skew towards Biden. Everybody knew that. And on election night, the Trump campaign, given the trends you saw in Florida and Ohio, the GOP won every single toss-up House race. The Trump campaign was feeling really good about their margin in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania because they had estimated what the Biden mail-in share would be. They didn't think they could overcome it, right? And what's the oddity isn't that there were mail-in ballots that were mostly for Biden, it's that in states like Pennsylvania, they were 80% for Biden or 70%. I might be getting that number wrong. Please go to my article. In Michigan, they were 70% for Biden. And so compare that to other states like Ohio or anywhere else or Florida. Yes, the Democrats had a higher share of the mail-in, but it was maybe like 55-45 versus Pennsylvania where it was 80-20.
Well,
and
it's hard.
That's the problem.
It's hard to follow the numbers for radio audience and so forth. But suffice it to say, we had the COVID was used as a reason for sending ballots out and so forth. But the other thing is, like Giuliani pointed out today, that we had a situation where 100,000 absentee ballots in Wisconsin should have been deemed invalid because there were no applications for them. They just sent them out.
Yep.
And when you just send them out to an address you have on file, you don't know if that person's dead or if they moved or four or five other people have lived there in that meantime and how many ballots end up going to that address.
Yep, there's a problem in all four of these states, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, and different problems depending on the state. But one of the biggest ones is especially in Detroit and Philadelphia where the votes were being counted, these votes that came in later that they didn't know were going to come in necessarily. Some of them were very much legitimate, right? For sure that a chunk of them were legitimate. But the problem was then what happened to the Republican poll challengers there. And I'd encourage people to look up another story I have. It's on a site called alphanews.com. And I interviewed a poll challenger who was in Detroit who signed an affidavit for the Trump campaign. And the stuff that went on there should bother Americans of all political stripes. And to go back to my previous point, to say it even more simply, what we saw on election night was reduced minority turnout for Biden across the board in America and some minority votes going for Trump. But for these four cities, Fulton County in Georgia, Philadelphia, and to some extent Allegheny County in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and then Milwaukee and Detroit. Those are the areas where there was hugely anomalous or different turnout than what you saw in the rest of the country.
Yeah,
and that's what won by the election. That's a fact.
Well, there's another key. And in the last minute, I want to give you a few moments on this software issue involving Dominion computer software being used in various states and swing states that may have changed tallies from Trump to Biden or deleted Trump votes. And in some cases, that's been documented. They admit, oh, there's a glitch. That was a glitch. But there are also reports that it could be accessed from a back door. I mean, very quickly in the last 40 seconds or so, how much do you think that played a role in it? And should it also be part of the deep discussion?
All it should be looked into and it should be investigated. And two things on this, too. The first thing is that we know that it did switch votes. Dominion says it was human error, but in both cases, it went for Biden. And so if it's even that easy to just have a human error based on using this software, that needs to be looked into. And this was used in every single swing state. This is a big deal. There's allegations that were bribes and corruption involved when this software and hardware for voting was bought by Georgia. And even Democratic senators a couple years ago, and one, Ron Wyden, who I agree with on certain issues, was a big proponent of going after Dominion. The second thing is that
very
it just
quickly.
Needs to be looked into. I already said that. But Democrats for 4 years gave us the Trump-Russia stuff to the point where 70% of Democratic voters thought Russia had hacked vote totals. We at least deserve to look into this before January 2021.
Absolutely. Willis, I want to thank you for your time. Again, this article is in The Federalist. If Americans can no longer trust our elections, we're in big trouble. Willis Krumholtz, glad
thank
to
you,
have
Larry.
You. We'll do it again, sir. Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right. When we continue, the pressure on Biden from the left-wing groups increasing because they think they've got him in a squeeze play.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So the pressure is ramping up on members of the Democrat Party. Pressure coming from the progressive left saying, do it our way or there'll be no way. And, of course, one of the first casualties will probably be Nancy Pelosi as House Speaker. In fact, she started telegraphing yesterday that, you know, I've done this a long time. Maybe it's time to step aside, but I'll be here to serve if you want me to. In other words, can I stay? And what can I do to make it look like I'm leaving on my own if they suddenly say, you're out of here? No, the pressure is building there. And the pressure is building for legislators that are going to have to learn to hear the sound and the drum of the far left, not just your local area. And you're going to have to bow down and pay homage, and you're also going to have to do whatever they tell you to. They've already given a directive to the California Governor Newsom to replace Senator Kamala Harris if she becomes VP. That means an open Senate seat, and they're already telling her it must be a black woman, period. That's it. In other words, as I said the other day, if you are a highly qualified Asian or white transgender, and you could certainly be a great senator, you're not going to be included because this party that's all about inclusiveness is now excluding you because only a black woman will fill that spot as far as they're concerned. And you know who else is being considered for that? The governor making a decision about who he might appoint? Himself. Newsom's already thinking about, maybe I should be the senator. Get me out of this place I've created here. Give me some cover in the U.S. Senate. In the meantime, the Biden administration preparing to come in, and they continue to get orders from Black Lives Matter directors and stating immediately that we want to see you immediately in cash bail and grant amnesty to any protesters targeted by the National Guard under President Trump. And they are making it clear to them, we want you to step forward because you've not been doing enough, Democrats, to deliver on major issues such as criminal justice reform. Oh, wait a minute, criminal justice reform? President Trump did do that. For 8 years, Obama and Biden did nothing on it. And Trump, in less than 4 years, did pass criminal justice reform. Not turning everybody loose from the cells and jails just because of their color or whatever else, but based upon case evidence. But Congressman Bobby Rush, Democrat, Illinois, former Black Panther, says, Black Lives Matter through media and social media can organize marches across the world. However, can Black Lives Matter get a bill passed in the House of Representatives? No, I don't think so. Well, here come Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley, and they say, oh, yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to shake the House up, which means, Nancy, you might as well start packing. Because there's not going to be a place for you in this new wave inside the House. And here's the other key, folks. In 2 years, they're all up for re-election again. And I'm going to predict right now that many, even inside the Democrat circles, will be so fed up that they will reverse and the House will be held by Republicans. That's just a prediction. I have nothing other than that, but I just think they're going to get so fed up with each other. We do know that they attack on every level they can. You've got the Georgia Senate candidate, Raphael Warnock, a minister, and he had preached a sermon one time that you cannot serve both God and country and the military, basically. God and country or God and the military. And then you got Ilhan Omar coming forward trying to preach to us as well, saying no one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other. You can't serve God and the money, as she wrote it. And then you also had Ilhan Omar, on another tweet adding, in Matthews, she spelled it M-A-T-H-E-W-S. There is only one Matthew. It's not an S, and there's two T's. Aside from that, she wanted to go ahead and say the same thing. The actual Revised Standard Version of Matthew 6:24 reads, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's referring to anything you worship, your idol that you put ahead of God, such as money, prestige, power. Doesn't have to be money, but anything that you consider greater than God in your life at that point. And I think many of us fall into that sin constantly. I know I do. Maybe you're, I'm sure you're better than me. But what we're coming down to here is that the left is now trying to preach the Bible to the rest of us. Well, if it encourages more reading of the Bible and closer inspection, I guess that might be a good thing. Coming up in the next hour, if you believe that this election was rigged, you are a sucker. You're an absolute sucker. Wait till you hear who's calling you that. And also, we'll continue our extended interview that we picked up from Daily Wire of Megyn Kelly, former Fox News and then NBC, talking about how she walked away from the media and why you should not trust the media on the mainstream at any level, any day. Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.